Welcome to the A-Level Physics Study Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important and frequently examined topics in mechanics, further motion concepts, which is topic 2.4 in your specification. Whether you're revising for mocks or the final exams, this episode is going to give you everything you need to nail the questions on projectile motion, velocity time graphs, and the Souvette equations, so grab a pen because you'll want to take notes. Let's start with the big picture. Further motion concepts builds directly on the basics of speed, velocity, and acceleration that you covered earlier. In this topic, we go further. We look at how objects move in two dimensions, how to analyze motion from graphs, and how to apply the equations of motion to solve complex problems. Examiners absolutely love this topic because it combines mathematical skill with conceptual understanding. You can expect questions worth anywhere from 2 marks right up to 6 marks on this material. Right, let's get into the core concepts. The first thing to really nail is the difference between scalar and vector quantities in the context of motion. Speed is a scalar. It just tells you how fast something is moving. Velocity is a vector. It tells you how fast and in which direction. This distinction matters enormously in exam questions. If a question asks for velocity and you give a number without a direction, you will lose a mark. Examiners are very strict on this. Acceleration is also a vector, and it can be negative, which simply means the object is decelerating or accelerating in the opposite direction to the motion. Now, these Souvette equations, these are the backbone of this entire topic. Souvette stands for S equals displacement, U equals initial velocity, V equals final velocity, A equals acceleration, and T equals time. There are 5 key equations, and you need to know which one to use depending on which variable is missing from the problem. Let me walk you through them. Equation 1, V equals U plus at T. Use this when you know the initial velocity, acceleration, and time, and you want to find the final velocity. No displacement involved. Equation 2, S equals U times T plus 1/2 A times T squared. Use this when you need to find displacement and, you know, initial velocity, acceleration, and time. Equation 3, V squared equals U squared plus 2AS. This is the one to use when time is not given and you need to link velocity and displacement. It comes up constantly in exam questions. Equation 4, S equals the average of U and V multiplied by T. Simple and elegant. Use it when acceleration is uniform and, you know, both velocities and time. Equation 5, S equals V times T minus 1/2 A times T squared. Less commonly used, but useful when you know final velocity rather than initial. A crucial point, these equations only apply when acceleration is constant and uniform. If the acceleration is changing, for example, due to air resistance increasing with speed, you cannot use Souvette directly. Examiners will sometimes set up a scenario with non-uniform acceleration specifically to test whether you know this limitation. Let's move on to velocity time graphs, which are absolutely essential for this topic. On a velocity time graph, the gradient of the line gives you the acceleration. A steeper gradient means greater acceleration. A horizontal line means constant velocity, zero acceleration. A line sloping downward means deceleration, negative acceleration. But here's the really important bit that many candidates miss. The area under a velocity time graph gives you the displacement, not the distance, the displacement. If the line goes below the x-axis, that area counts as negative displacement, meaning the object has moved back in the opposite direction. Examiners frequently ask you to calculate displacement from a VT graph, and you need to be comfortable finding areas of triangles, rectangles, and trapezoids. For a curved line on a VT graph, the gradient at any point, found by drawing a tangent, gives the instantaneous acceleration at that moment. This is a higher tier skill that comes up in challenging questions. Now let's talk about projectile motion, which is probably the most visually interesting part of this topic. A projectile is any object that has been launched into the air and is only subject to gravity. No engine, no thrust, just the force of gravity pulling it downward. The key principle is this. The horizontal and vertical components of motion are completely independent of each other. The horizontal velocity stays constant throughout the flight. There's no horizontal force acting on the projectile, assuming we ignore air resistance. The vertical motion, however, is affected by gravity, which causes a constant downward acceleration of 9.81 meters per second squared. This independence is what makes the maths manageable. You treat the horizontal and vertical as 2 completely separate Souvette problems, and then combine the results at the end if you need to find the resultant velocity. Let me give you the key equations for projectile motion. Horizontally, the displacement x equals the horizontal velocity ux multiplied by time t. That's it. No acceleration term because horizontal acceleration is zero. Vertically, you use the full Suvet equations with equals 9.81 meters per second squared downward. So vertical displacement y equals uy times t plus 1/2 times g times t squared. And the vertical velocity at any time is vy equals uy minus g times t. Note the minus sign because gravity acts downward. At the maximum height of the trajectory, the vertical velocity is zero. This is a key fact that examiners use to set up calculations. If you're asked to find the maximum height, you set Vy equal to zero and solve for either time or displacement. The shape of the trajectory is a parabola, a smooth, symmetrical curve. If the projectile is launched and lands at the same height, the trajectory is perfectly symmetrical. The time to reach maximum height equals the time to fall back down. One thing that trips up a lot of candidates, when a projectile is launched horizontally from a height, like a ball rolling off a table, the initial vertical velocity is zero, so uy equals zero. The horizontal velocity remains constant throughout. This is a very common exam scenario. Now let's talk about resolving vectors, which underpins all of projectile motion. When an object is launched at an angle theta to the horizontal with speed u, you resolve the velocity into components. The horizontal component is u times cosine theta. The vertical component is u times sine theta. Remember, cosine for horizontal, sine for vertical. A useful memory trick. Think of the letter H. Horizontal uses cosine, and the letter H looks like it has a horizontal bar in the middle. Actually, an even better trick, Sakatoa. Sine is opposite over hypotenuse, cosine is adjacent over hypotenuse. The horizontal component is adjacent to the angle, so it uses cosine. At the end of a projectile calculation, if you need to find the resultant velocity, you combine the horizontal and vertical components using Pythagoras, Vv equals the square root of Vx squared plus Vy squared. And the angle is found using tan theta equals Vy divided by Vx. All right, let's move into exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. Mistake number one, forgetting units. This is probably the single most common reason for losing marks in physics calculations. Every numerical answer must have correct units. Velocity in meters per second, acceleration in meters per second squared, displacement in meters. If you're working in kilometers or kilometers per hour, convert to SI units first. Mistake number two, using Suvet when acceleration is not constant. Always check, is the acceleration uniform? If there's air resistance, friction changing, or any other variable force, Suvet does not apply directly. Mistake number three, confusing distance and displacement, or speed and velocity. Distance is scalar, total path length. Displacement is vector, straight line distance from start to finish with direction. If an object travels in a circle and returns to its start, the distance is the circumference, but the displacement is zero. Mistake number four, in projectile motion, forgetting that the horizontal and vertical components are independent. Some candidates try to use the launch speed directly in vertical calculations. This is wrong. You must resolve first. Mistake number five, sign errors. Choose a positive direction at the start of every problem and stick to it. If upward is positive, then g equals negative 9.81. If downward is positive, then g equals positive 9.81. Inconsistency here causes cascading errors. Mistake number six, on velocity time graphs, candidates sometimes calculate the gradient when they should be finding the area or vice versa. Remember, gradient gives acceleration, area gives displacement. For command words, if a question says calculate, you must show all working, use the correct formula, substitute values, and give the answer with units. Partial credit is available for correct working even if the final answer is wrong, so always show your steps. If the question says explain, you need to use the word because to link cause and effect. If it says describe, state what happens using correct physics terminology. For 6-mark questions on this topic, structure your answer clearly. Start by identifying the relevant equations, state what each variable represents, substitute values step by step, and conclude with a clear final answer, including units and direction if it's a vector. Now, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. Cover up your notes and try to answer these in your head. Question 1. What does the gradient of a velocity time graph represent? The answer is acceleration. Question 2. What does the area under a velocity time graph represent? The answer is displacement. Question 3. In projectile motion, what is the horizontal acceleration? 0. There's no horizontal force, so no horizontal acceleration. Question 4. At the maximum height of a projectile's trajectory, what is the vertical velocity? 0. Question 5. State the Suved equation that does not involve time, v squared equals u squared plus 2as. Question 6. A ball is launched at 20 meters per second at 30 degrees to the horizontal. What is the horizontal component of velocity? 20 times cosine 30, which equals approximately 17.3 meters per second. Question 7. What is the value of g, the acceleration due to gravity near Earth's surface? 9.81 meters per second squared, directed downward. How did you do? If you struggle with any of those, go back and review that section of your notes. Let's wrap up with the key summary points for this topic. 1. Suved equations apply only under constant uniform acceleration. Know all 5 equations and which variable each one omits. 2. On a velocity time graph, gradient equals acceleration and area equals displacement. A negative area means displacement in the opposite direction. 3. In projectile motion, horizontal and vertical motions are independent. Horizontal velocity is constant. Vertical motion is governed by gravity at 9.81 meters per second squared downward. 4. Always resolve a launch velocity into horizontal and vertical components before starting calculations. Horizontal uses cosine of the angle, vertical uses sine of the angle. 5. At maximum height, vertical velocity equals 0. Use this as a key condition in calculations. 6. To find resultant velocity, use Pythagoras on the horizontal and vertical components. To find the direction, use inverse tangent. 7. Always include units and direction in your final answers. Velocity and displacement are vectors. Direction matters. That's it for today's episode on further motion concepts. This is a topic where practice really does make perfect. Work through as many past paper questions as you can, especially on projectile motion and velocity time graph analysis. The more you practice, the more natural it becomes to spot which equation to use and which approach to take. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've got this.